Third and four for the Eagles here. Murphy and shotgun. Here's the snap. He rolls left. He throws.
WZBC Sports.
Hello and welcome to WZBC Podcast Season 2, Episode 10. This podcast is focusing on Boston College basketball. I am Kyle Mazin, joined by my friend and colleague, one of his last days in the state before going abroad, Ben Newirth. Ben, how are you doing today?
Great, great. Pleasure to be in here with you, Kyle.
So, Boston College basketball, just coming off of a interesting feeling loss at Louisville. This puts the team at, I believe, 13-7 right now on the season. The team was close for the first half and really down big for a lot of second half before cutting it to 2 before Louisville blew away. But overall, again, 13-7 is a pretty solid spot. If you ask any Boston College basketball fan early this year, if we'd be at this spot, they'd be pretty happy about it. So just do a short recap of winter break and what you saw out of this team.
Definitely. And you mentioned that Louisville game that just ended just a little over half an hour ago. Heartbreaking loss from a game that was really lost from the beginning. I'll just recap this game real quick. BC played Louisville sort of even, more or less, in the first half. Jerome Robinson was sick this game, actually, puking in timeouts on the sideline. Nevertheless, put up a big line, as he always does, 19 points, 4 assists, 8 of 16 from the field. Though Kai Bowman was a little less effective today. But regardless, Louisville pulled away in the second half, had an 18-point lead with 4 minutes to go. And BC was actually able to, on some miraculous defensive plays, some timely 3-pointers by Jordan Chapman, they were able to cut the Louisville deficit to 2 points with 30 seconds to go. But unfortunately, a couple of missed shots from BC, and Louisville just was not missing their foul line shots towards the end. Kind of wrap that one up. And you mentioned that drops BC to 13-7. That's 3-4 in the conference after a couple of good wins here to start conference play. Definitely going on from that Duke game is they beat Wake Forest at Chestnut Hill 77-71 in that game. Really an all around dominating win for BC. They were pretty much ahead that entire contest. And then the Florida State game last Monday, BC's first game back from winter break for the students. Big atmosphere there, and accompanied by some big plays, especially by our two stars, Kai Bowman and Jerome Robson, who, against all odds, have reached a new level even compared to their great play last season.
Yeah, I mean, Jerome and Kai have been great, and this team has been great at home. They're 11-1 at home, with the 4-point loss to Clemson being the only black mark in their performance here at Chestnut Hill. On the road, much different team as they're now 1-5 after this loss at Louisville. They've taken losses at Nebraska, at Providence, at North Carolina, at Louisville. So they really haven't figured out how to play a road game. At Virginia was the other road loss, a very close, unfortunate loss. Let's talk a little about that Virginia game, because that was something over winter break that really stood out to me. This team was with the number 2 team in the country all game, and they were down 1 with about 3 seconds left, and they had 2 chances because of a clock malfunction to get a go-ahead bucket, and they just couldn't execute down the stretch. But man, being within 1 point of a Virginia team that usually suffocates and dominates BC as they have in the past, it's a lot of progress, but that's one that slipped through your hands. And imagine a resume right now that would have had wins against Duke and Virginia and Florida State. That would be a very impressive resume, but they came oh so close, but yet so far.
I mean, exactly. And I think even like the most impressive part of that game was that Kai Bowman was terrible that game. Kai Bowman only had 5 points, was 2 of 10 from the field, but Jerome Robinson, that was part of his ridiculous start to 2018 where he I'm not sure what his stats are in the new year after this most recent Louisville game, but he was averaging 23 points per game, 50% from the field, 50% from the 3-point line. And Jerome Robinson was unbelievable in this Virginia game. And if you remember, you mentioned the 2 chances at the end, BC had a chance to win. If Nick Popovich, he had gotten the ball off the inbounds, if he had just handed that off, I think that dribble handoff to Jerome Robinson. I'm confident Jerome Robinson would have hit that too, and BC might have won that game at Virginia. So on the road, and that kind of goes to the theme of this whole season, BC doesn't really have any bad losses except the UNC game. So the UNC game, they were pretty much outplayed from the get-go. Luke May was, he had, I think, 36 points, 18 rebounds. He was just unbelievable in that game, just hitting everything. And BC was out of it from the beginning. But
you were down there at Chapel Hill with, Ben, with Matt Satilli.
Great broadcast, absent the terrible game. But, I mean, UVA were within a point with not even 10 seconds to go. The Clemson game at home, you mentioned that. Jerome Robinson had a three that rimmed out with 17 seconds to go that would have given BC a one-point lead. So, I mean, they could have very, very easily won that Clemson game. And then this Louisville game, they're down by two with 30 seconds to go also. I mean, every game they've played this year, the Texas Tech game very early in the year, Texas Tech's a top team now. BC lost to them really only in, like, the last couple of minutes. I believe they're down four with 2 minutes to go in that game as well.
It was a three-point minute with a minute left. With a minute left, and then Texas Tech hit a couple free throws near the end, made it an eight-point loss, made it worse than it was. But it was a 3-5 point game for 85% of the contest. BC stuck with them, and Texas Tech was number eight before their losses this week. They'll probably drop a little bit, but they'll still be a ranked team. So overall, this team, compared to the last 2 years, it's an incredible jump. Last 2 years, they lost 20 games each the last 2 years. This year, barring a collapse, they're an NIT team with a great rest of the season. They're a bubble tournament team. I think it's a tournament is not necessarily what you put money on, but it's possible. I don't think anyone is going to count them out of the tournament, especially the way they play at home. If they can beat the Miamis, the Notre Dames, the Syracuses at home, and maybe pull off one or two road games, couple that with a win or two in the ACC conference tournament, I think you really could realistically see BC as a 10 or 11 seed in the Natty.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at BC's remaining ACC schedule right now, and I haven't really looked at it really closely before today, but there really isn't a single game that they like should be completely out of. Their next game is at Syracuse, and Syracuse is having a down year. Syracuse is a team that, honestly, I would hope BC would beat that team. Even a road game is tough.
The one question is at the road, at the Carrier Dome. It's a hostile environment.
Let's be conservative. Pennsylvania's a loss. Then let's say that's a loss. They play at home against Virginia Tech. You gotta win that game. You gotta win. If you can't win that game at home, you don't deserve to be in the tournament.
It's Va Tech and Georgia Tech, back to back home games within a week. Those
you
need to win.
And then you play at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is extremely hobbled without Bonzi Colson. They're really just like not. They're probably one of the lower teams in the ACC now. You mentioned Miami. Miami's a tougher team. They have Lonnie Walker.
But again, it's at home.
That's true.
BC has shown that for good games this year, they're putting out crowds. Florida State had a great atmosphere. Duke had one of the best atmospheres I've seen as a BC student in 2.5 years. I'm hoping for Miami we can get a similar crowd out there for that. And with that crowd, who knows what happens? That's the beauty of college basketball. Get a good home crowd, get a hot Kai and Jerome. Miami's not unbeatable.
Definitely not. And I mean, you talk about the crowd. The crowd really helped in that Florida State game. And BC, like, they have everything going for them. The second half of the season, they have the schedule. They have two guys who can just score on anybody. You just can't. Jerome Robinson has been unguardable since ACC play started. He's just unreal. And Kai Bowman's going to get it going. He's had a couple of tough games, but he's also had some really big games this year as well. And the only thing that makes me hesitant at BC is the depth. The depth is just, it's a huge, huge issue.
I believe against Louisville, there were zero bench points.
That's just, I mean, let's just talk about the starting lineup right now is Kai Bowman, Jerome Robinson, Jordan Chapman, Stefan Mitchell, and Nick Popovich. Your next two bench guys are going by minutes played right here. Giancarlos Reyes, and then actually Vin Baker technically has more minutes per game. Yeah. But I'd say Luka Krajovic is really the seventh man off the bench. And I mean,
but they're both big men. Vin Baker is the wing guard off the bench, and then you have Luka and JC vying for those big man minutes.
Yeah, none of like. Sometimes Christian likes to play Luka and like Nick Popovich together sometimes, and Luka has the stroke where he can, like, you have to guard him from three, so he can kind of play power forward. But also, it's just, I mean, those guys just aren't ready. Like, those Vin and Luka are just so raw. Luka, I think, knows his way around, and I think his basketball IQ is pretty good. But Vin is very raw. He's very, very green.
And Luka, I agree. I think Luka has shown a lot of strides this year. He's not necessarily scoring dominant right now. But when he's out there, you know, you trust him. If there's a good shot, he'll probably take it. If not, he'll pass. You can trust him on defense. Vin Baker is so skinny.
Yeah.
He gets pushed around all the time, which is my big worry with him. And Avery Wilson looks lost. Avery Wilson was the guy who was supposed to come in and be the backup point guard. whatever you see on the floor, Jim Christian is just telling him, like, step by step, would you expect to tell a middle schooler how to play defense, how to run a simple offense? I can't stand that Avery Wilson, the guy who's supposed to be brought in to be that depth guard, just can't.
Well, I would cut him a little slack. I mean, this is what a freshman's supposed to be, though, isn't it? Especially a freshman, it's supposed to be overwhelming, unless you're some megastar like Jerome Robinson and Kai Bone, but you can't get that every time. Like, you can't expect that in your first year.
I'm not expecting Avery Wilson to be a starter. I'm expecting him to be able to be passable, where you can give Kai Bowman a two-minute breather and be able to be confident that having Avery on the floor won't kill your team.
I mean, you're right, and I think you're putting the blame in the wrong place, but you're definitely right. Like, a huge part of this team struggles, especially, like, let's just take this game today. Kai Bowman had a tough start to the game, was kind of struggling throughout, but he just had to keep playing and playing and playing and playing. He never gets a chance to just, like, sit on the bench, maybe, like, readjust his mind. Maybe just give it a little bit of rest. Yeah, give it a leg of rest. I mean, this guy's averaging like probably 90 to 95% of the minutes that BC's played this season.
In a 40-minute college game, I think Jerome, Jordan Chapman, and Kai Bowman all average 30-plus.
Jordan Chapman never comes off the floor. He really just like – he almost is always on the floor at all times. And that's going back to the point I was making before. Like, the only thing that can really bring BC down and not get them to at least even in the 500, even in the ACC – which I think should be good enough for a tournament or at least an NIT appearance.
I think unless his team collapses, you're looking at a 3 seed in the NIT.
The only thing that's like not going to let them get there is going to be if someone gets hurt. Because if someone gets hurt this season, I don't even know who would step into the starting lineup if Jerome or Kai got hurt. I don't even know. Vin Baker
would be starting.
That'd be so concerning about like either an injury or just fatigue. I mean, you can't expect the three guys. Jerome and Kai seem to be doing okay with the workload so far, but it's clearly affecting somebody like Jordan Chapman, I think. Jordan Chapman's had a tough couple games.
For me, I think Chapman works better with it because he's not the guy that runs off the screens. He plays good defense, and on offense, he'll stand in the corner, run some screens, and shoot threes. And his shots, even late in games, still seem to have the legs behind him. For me, I see Kai and Jerome. They don't have the legs underneath their shot late in games like they do early on. But I think Jordan Chapman, actually, because he's a different offensive player. And I think he's one that can kind of stand and take through the fatigue.
I think – well, I would say his defense has fallen off this season. Yes. I think I've seen Chapman get blown by a lot. And it's kind of like in the beginning of the season, I think his defense was much better than it had been. But then I think as the season's gone on, it's gone a little bit worse. That's what the
fatigue is affecting his defense, not his offense.
But even his offense, like you mentioned, he should be like a stand in the corner, like kind of drift around the three-point arc and hit threes. That's what he should be ideally. But BC kind of needs him to be more. Like they need him to be a third option. And like, a third option has to do a little bit more than that. I mean, Kai and Jerome, it's just too predictable when those guys are the only guys they can dribble into the paint and create.
Well, you're mentioning a third option. I think every Boston College basketball fan knows that there is a possibly special option coming in next year. Boston College has landed the number, I believe, 66, ranked by 247 Sports recruit. Jarius Hamilton, the 6'7 small forward out of North Carolina, has verbaled to Boston College, a huge get for Jim Christian, this team. Anyone heard of depth? Adding Jarius Hamilton and his brother, who played a lot of minutes at Georgia Southern or Georgia State. Those are guys that you can put on your team and you can trust them to play. If no one leaves next year, this team could be deep in a year's time with a sophomore Vin Baker, with a sophomore possibly Avery Wilson, with a junior Kai Bowman, a senior Robinson and Chapman, a junior Popovich, maybe even Teddy Hawkins comes back. I'm not putting my money on that, but it is possible that Hawkins does return for a sixth season next year from medical redshirt. In a year's time, with the additions of Hamilton and hopefully growth in the rest of the team, we could have a deep roll at 7, 8, 9 guys even in a night.
I mean, you're right. I mean, honestly, Jarius Hamilton is exactly what this team needs. Like, it couldn't fit better. He's a 6'8", 220-pound, like, small forward slash power forward. He's almost a perfect fit with Stephon Mitchell because he's a hard-nosed defensive guy. He's a guy that can play great defense. And just looking at the schools that offered him, I mean, what a get for Boston College. Arizona, Duke, Florida, Miami, Tennessee, USC. I mean, Virginia. I mean, Jim Christian and Scott Spinelli, the assistant coach for BC, they really outdid themselves with this one. I mean, Jarius Hamilton is the best recruit BC's had in 15 years. Not only do they get him, which is big, but they also get his brother. And his brother, Jared Hamilton, he plays, I think he's currently playing at Georgia Southern, but he transferred to Boston College. And And even he's a guard, which, and even if it doesn't even matter really how good this guy Jared, they just need someone that can play. Like, this guy can play at least.
If Jared Hamilton can be an okay 6-7,
even mediocre.
If he can just be an eighth guy, give him 10 minutes a night and say, you know what, with you out there, we feel confident that our team's not going to get destroyed. That's what this team needs. We need someone who can give Jerome and Kai a minute here, 2 minutes there, and feel confident that, okay, you're going to be okay. We felt the same with Stephen Mitchell. We could give Chapman a blow. We could give Hawkins a blow. We could even play Mitchell at the two and give Jerome a blow if we needed to early in the year when he was the sixth man. And you felt like, you know what, I'm okay with this. Mitchell's not a big drop-off. He can still do a lot. That's what we need Jared Hamilton to be.
Absolutely. And we have another guard also, Winston Tabbs, who's rated a 76 out of 100. I believe they say it's the 50th best shooting guard prospect according to ESPN. And he's also committed to Boston. He's been committed for a couple years now. So, I mean, say what you want about how the team performance has been the last couple years. Jim Christian's really done a great job recruiting. And next year, what is really holding this team back is the depth. And the depth could be a strength of this team. We could have Tabs and we could have Jared Hamilton as two backup guards off the bench. That'd be huge to have just two guys who can even play just like 5-10 minutes a game. Just give Bowman and Robinson a little bit of a blow. And then you have Jarius Hamilton. If you get Hawkins back, I mean, that'd be huge. Hopefully Luka Kraljevic is able to take the step forward that Nick Popovich has taken. And I just want to take this moment to mention Nick Popovich has gotten a lot better for this team this year. He actually, before last season, he really only had like one sweeping hook shot move. He's got spin counters. He's a little like jump hook shot that he doesn't always have to go the same way with. He can shoot with either hand. He has great hands. He almost never fumbles the ball. And I think his defense has gotten a lot better as well. He's always been good about not fouling, but this year he's stepping up in a situation he's needed, and he's keeping his hands straight up and making sure that he stays on the floor. Which is the most important part of all the skills.
The defense is what I thought was the biggest change this year. Because after freshman, I saw he has good offensive touch. In offseason, he'll develop more moves. I figured that was a given with Nick Popovich, just from what I saw from him freshman year. The question was, moved into the starting role after Mo Jeffers graduated, could he, A, have the stamina to be a starting center? B, could he hold himself in the ACC against great big men? Because ACC has some fantastic big men. Especially when you look at the Florida State guys who are 7-4 and 7-2. And defensively on the boards, Nick Popovich has done a very nice job. He except for Lucas May, who is just faster than Popovich, he hasn't really been destroyed by any big man, which I feel like was a lot of people's concern and was something that had been eating up Boston College for the last bunch of years. Even when Dennis Clifford was here, he had eaten up by a lot of ACC big men. And the fact that he's a sophomore and can keep developing and keep kind of building that defensive strength, I think this team is in a really good spot. Popovich is not a perfect player, but he doesn't have to be a perfect player on this team.
But you mentioned rebounding has been the Achilles heel for BC for so long. And this year, they're 167th in the country in offensive rebounding, 113th in defensive rebounding. Like, those aren't amazing numbers, but those are way better than they've been in the past.
They were in the 300s the last couple years. They were one of the worst teams in the entire country, not just Power 5. And now they're not great, but they're passable.
A big part of that is not just, you mentioned Popovich is a huge improvement. That's really big part. Mitchell is one of the best rebounders I've ever seen.
Stephon Mitchell is number 9 in the ACC in rebounding.
Wow, that's pretty incredible, actually. Stephon Mitchell's that high as a freshman. And you mentioned another good rebounder BC is Kai Bowman. Kai Bowman's number 1 in the ACC among guards in rebounding. Number 1 in the entire country among players 6'2 or shorter. Which they mentioned in today's Louisville broadcast. I mean, that's unbelievable. And he has such ridiculous hops. It's just, but one more thing I think that could really improve BC's rotation, what I really hope to see in like the next couple of, just the next couple of games. I think that Luka Kraljevic is ready to take John Carlos's minutes. I think right now it's about Luka and I'm just going by conference play here since Luka didn't really play that many, he didn't really play that many minutes, but Luka's averaging 12 minutes. John Carlos is just a little beyond that, 11.8. I think the BC offense runs better with Luka in there because, like I said, he's a threat up top. And when BC is able to just bring out the opposing center, like, it doesn't even matter if Luka hits the threes. If he never hits a three the whole season, it doesn't really matter as long as people guard him out there, which they do. Other teams guard him. And he just knows the game. I feel like he knows the game really well. He does dribble handoffs really well. He had this one really nice dribble handoff with Jerome today where he faked it towards the middle like he was going to give a bounce pass cut towards Robinson. And then Robinson went the other way, fooled his defender, and Luka was right there with him. They were right. They could read each other's minds, and he got him an open mid-range jumper. And just, I feel like that happens all over the floor and all over the floor when he's on the floor. And I think Luka, I don't think he's as talented as Nick Popovich was his freshman year, but he gives me some shades of that. They have very different games, but he gives like the intelligence part. I don't know if you know what I mean.
Yeah, when you look at the way they view the game and how they see the game on the floor, they're very similar. Popovich was a little bigger of a guy, which is, I think, the biggest difference between Luka and Popovich. Luka's more of a 6'9", skinnier guy, while Popovich was always like a legit 7-footer with a little more meat on him. Luka's more of a 4, but Pop is a 5, but they have the same brain about them. It might be the European style, because they're both from the similar area from Europe. I think one's from Bosnia, one's from Serbia.
Yeah, I believe Nick Popovich is from Bosnia, and Luka's actually from Slovenia.
It's the same area. It's a similar type of ball that's played in all those Baltic countries. They're taught a similar style of play, and I feel like it translates pretty well to the college game, the way it's been evolving. And especially when you have a guard-centric offense like BC does, if you have those big men that can pull the shot-blocking center out, it opens so many driving lanes for your guards, especially if that big man can start shooting a couple shots. Like Popovich is 3. He's not going to be a league leader, but he makes enough where you say, okay, you know what? You can shoot it, and the defenses have to honor him behind the arc.
That's the thing. Like, Nick Popovich is probably never going to be a good shooter. Like, I don't think his shot looks that great. But if he just gets guys to, like, go out there, that's so big. That's so, so big. Like, just going to, like, to translate to the NBA, like, the Warriors, like, Draymond Green's not a prolific 3-point shooter. And you probably kind of want him shooting threes, but just the fact that he's at the 3-point line and he pulls the opposing center like that just opens up so much
for their offense. And Draymond Green is good enough.
Yeah, exactly. Just all you have to be is good enough. So let's just again, looking forward to the season right now. BC, they're 3-4 in the ACC. They have what games do you see them winning next? Their next few games in the ACC. Which ones do you see them getting?
They're beating Va Tech and Georgia Tech at home. They're beating Pitt at Pitt because Pitt has just been pitiful this year. I think they out Bonzi Colson, they beat Notre Dame at home. I believe that the U is a winnable game, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen. I think they go 1-1 with Syracuse. I think they take the home game, lose the road game on Wednesday. I think they lose at Syracuse. I think they lose at NC State. I think they might lose at FSU. But I think the rest are very winnable. Home against Syracuse. I think they'll split Miami too. Miami's 2-2. I think they'll split Miami, split Syracuse. So I think that'll be 7 wins. Probably 7-4 the rest of the way.
7-4 the rest of the way. So what would that bring them to?
20 and
to 10-7. 10-7.
10-7 in the conference, and they would be 13 overall.
20-13 overall.
20-12 overall. I'm sorry, 20-12.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because even over games, obviously. I think that would be good enough for a tournament appearance. Honestly,
I think if you do that, you need one win in the ACC tournament. You're in.
Yeah, that's true. It's definitely going to come down to the tournament, and that's really going to depend on the matchup. Because like if BC again, like we mentioned, BC's rebounding is much better this year, but they still have a weakness when they play like these teams with these giant big guys in the middle. I think they do well when there's too many giant big guys. Like Duke had too many just big. Like there's no spacing on Duke's team, so BC will take advantage of that. But like.
Good luck with Duke next year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Duke with got Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, and
Cam Reddish. But this is not that podcast, but...
No, but that is going to be concerning. And even in the UNC game, like, it was a big guy, Luke May, who really killed BC. Because as good as Popovich is and as good as Mitchell are, they defend different type of players. So, like, Mitchell can't handle a way bigger guy than him. He can try, and he does a really good job, but he doesn't have the strength. And Popovich is a little slow sometimes. But I think that would be good enough. I could see them honestly sweeping the table until they face Miami at home. And I think Miami is going to be a team that gives them a lot of problems because Miami's two dynamic guards. And as good as Robinson and Bowman are, their defense is still a little lackluster sometimes. So I can see them dropping that game at Miami. And then I could see them perhaps dropping the game at FSU in the last game of the year, which would be only 2 more losses. So if they only have 6 losses in the ACC, they'd honestly, regardless of tournament, ACC tournament up here, performance.
So you're having 12 conference wins?
I could honestly see it. I could see, as long as it's all going to come down to the fatigue. That's what this season is all going to be. I think the talents, I think they have, like, just going talent by talent, if, like, if you were somehow able to play 3-on-3 for the rest of this year, I think BC would easily get those 12 conference wins.
Yeah.
But it just comes down to the fatigue. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, but the fact that they've won 3 conference games the past 2 seasons combined, and this year, as optimistic as 12 could be, it's plausible. I'm not sure. That might be a little optimistic. I think it could be closer to the 9 wins. But any of those is just an incredible jump this year, and it shows to how really well Christian has done. Because when he took over, this program was in a bad, dark place, and he's made it viable again. And it's not very hard to see this program very soon start thriving.
Definitely. And I guess we have to ask this question, because coming into the year, there were absolutely questions about Jim Christian's job
security. His job is safe.
I think his job is easily safe right now. I think it'd be one of the biggest mistakes in BC athletic history to let him go at this point. I mean,
his job
is right safe. When it's revving into gear. This is right when it's we're getting to see what the good stuff is all about. Right?
It would be an incredible mistake if Jim Christian was let go at this point, because he has done a fantastic job building the talent and developing guys recently. Well, Ben, I think that's about all we have for BC basketball at this point. Once again, I would like to thank Ben Neuwirth for joining me. I hope he has a fantastic time in Dublin, Ireland for his next semester abroad. We will miss you at WZBC, but you'll be back next year for your senior year. And for Kyle Mazin, I want to thank everybody for listening, and go Eagles. Have a great day.
Santini, make a nice little pass over to Sanford. Sanford gives it to Tuck. Tuck with a shot. Oh! Tuck scores! Eagles win! The Eagles have won the 2016 Bean Bunt Championship!
Catch all the excitement of Boston College Athletics right here on WZBC Newton 90.3 FM. As BC's only student radio broadcasting organization, WZBC Sports brings a different viewpoint of college athletics to the table. Our student commentators know the campus, student-athlete culture, and latest beat on the teams like no other media outlet, thanks to our dedicated coverage of Boston College sports. Check out our broadcast or weekly talk show schedules at www.wzbcsports.com and get a refreshing take on sporting events at the Heights and beyond.